Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. When might you be able to go back to a Sacramento restaurant, sit inside, and have a meal? California's governor has been holding the reins tightly on the state, but every day we're hearing more details about the transition in this reopening of the economy. Dr. Peter Bielenson is joining us by phone. He is Sacramento County's Department of Health Services Director. Dr. Bielenson, I always appreciate having your time and your input on these questions. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So what would you like to see with Sacramento's dine-in restaurant service?
So we are depending upon the criteria the governor will release. He's releasing the criteria for allowing you to do more than he has allowed us to do tomorrow. And if we can certify as a county that we are meeting criteria, for example, hospitalization rates, death rates, et cetera, from COVID, then we would be able to open up more widely than they are currently doing.
More widely, can you put that on a timetable?
Yes. So Thursday, the criteria will come out. Tomorrow, the criteria will come out. If we meet the criteria, then we will certify ourselves over the next day or two, and we could potentially come out with a new health order that would set up more broadly opening industries and activities sometime next week.
So sometime next week, it's possible that you could go to a Sacramento restaurant, observing modifications and protocols, and sit inside for a meal. Is that what you're saying?
We have a menu of options, no pun intended, of which types of activities we will loosen up. One of them is restaurants. I'm not positive. I don't want to guarantee that we will open restaurants. But, for example, if we did open restaurants, there would be with restrictions. So, for example, smaller capacity, like 33 or 50% of their normal capacity, people would be wearing masks. The serving staff would wear masks. There'd be disposable menus, things like that. So there'd be some restrictions and social distancing, and we obviously would check people at the door to make sure that they don't have symptoms. But those are the kinds of things that we'll be looking at.
Where are you on the discussion about mandatory masks in the county?
So we're seriously considering it. I know, of course, Yolo County does it, and LA, I think, is now requiring it. But we're looking very seriously at it, and we'll see what we decide to do for our next health order.
When you say looking at it, how would you define it? How might the language go?
We're debating that right now, but it would probably be indoors. Whenever you're indoors, people would probably have to wear masks both on both sides of the aisle, if you will, servers and customers and alike. I don't think it will be necessary to do it outdoors, but we're debating this, and we'll come up with our guidelines in the next week or so.
There have been some studies about air conditioning, and some of those studies come from China or the surrounding countries where COVID has already ravaged greatly. What about the transmission, the air conditioning concerns, and what science are you aware of or watching?
Yeah, so the HVAC stuff is a potential. Again, it's along the lines of what you and I have talked about before in terms of delivery, you know, boxes that get delivered to your front door or groceries get delivered. There hypothetically could be an issue, but by far, far and away, the most important thing to do is social distancing and trying to avoid a face-to-face contact with people. That's by far the most likely cause, most frequent cause of infection, and what we should really be focusing on.
I want to stay on this mask point for a moment. Mayor Daryl Steinberg wants to talk about mandatory masks also in the city. How do the city and county work together on this? And would a county order supersede or include anything that would happen in the city?
Yeah, so the city does not have a public health department or a Department of Health Services. So we are actually the health department for the city, all the cities of Sacramento County, as well as the unincorporated areas of the 1.5 million people that live in Sacramento County. So we would want to come up with a relatively consistent stance. And again, we're very seriously considering looking at mandatory masks, but we haven't come up with a decision yet.
Paper surgical masks are different from N95s, are different from fabric masks. Would there be, or would you want there to be, some specification about the kind of mask?
So the reason that one of the main reasons that we only strongly recommended masks up until this point was because of the lack of availability of potentially paper masks in the community. N95 masks should be off the table. They're to be reserved for healthcare workers and other folks that truly need them. The surgical paper masks now are pretty readily available, but we would if we had a mandatory masking protocol, it would include face wraps or like bandanas, things like that as well. And they are easily made with a. I can actually show you on a web demonstration or something at some point. They have a lot of these on YouTube. Bandanas that are folded over 3 or 4 times. You put a coffee filter in the middle, and then you put rubber bands on either side and put it on your face, and it makes it a fairly good face mask.
When you go out and about, Dr. Bielenson, and you are wearing a mask at times, what kind of a mask are you wearing?
A surgical mask, the paper mask.
Okay.
I certainly am not wearing an N95. And I also have worn my bandana mask as well.
Do you wear your surgical mask repeatedly? Because there is an issue with the safety of that mask over many uses, too.
Right. So over many uses, it gets very wet, to be disgusting about it. And that can attract aerosolized particles as well. So if possible, it's best to wear a new one each time you're out for a period of time. But that's, whether you have readily available masks or not is a question. That's why face wraps or these bandana type things also make sense, because you can certainly wash them each time you wear them, and you can make several of them at any given time.
We started this conversation by talking about restaurants and the category of dining. But you referenced that there would be other categories of businesses that the county is looking at reopening. Can you give me some of those examples, some of the businesses that would be on your list?
Well, it's more like activities. So, for example, there would be certain businesses potentially. I don't really want to get into them because once we get involved in hypothesizing about what businesses may be included in whatever order, we get hit heavily by people on the pros and cons of that. Not that we don't want to have community input, we obviously do, but I just don't want to put something out there that we don't end up doing. However, we certainly would include outdoor recreation activities more widely than we're currently allowing.
I just spoke to the Yuba County Supervisor about Yuba and Sutter Counties opening their mall today, taking some steps ahead of where the state is. How much latitude do you think you have in Sacramento County, and what about them taking a more aggressive step?
What about who, Yuba and Sutter taking more aggressive step?
Yes.
Yeah, so I think with all due respect to Yuba and Sutter, the gatherings in places are an issue. It's one thing to open up activities and outdoor activities to a couple people, 3 people, or 10, maybe 5 or 10 people on a mat in an outdoor exercise group. It's another thing to open up malls completely, because you want to make sure that you don't have large gatherings where a single case could set off a conflagration. So what we're looking at doing in Sacramento is much more measured and I think more responsible view of looking at the different things that we're going to be doing, where we don't increase the number of people dramatically that will be in one place at one time.
Arden Fair Mall has announced that it's going to open Friday for curbside pickup. Is that a decision that's been made in conjunction with the county? And what kind of a timetable might there be for Arden Fair, for example, before it can go to fully open?
So in terms of their being able to open on curbside, that's under the governor's new guidelines that have already come out. It makes great sense. As long as they have social distancing, it's absolutely fine, because it's not going to be gathering of people. It'll be people coming 6 feet or more apart to pick up their thing and leave. That's fine. When they would be able to open, I'm not sure. Under a more relaxed opening, it would probably not be this phase, but probably the next phase.
We talked to Mayor Steinberg on Monday, and he said, in fact, these are his exact words, I think what the governor's going to do is give counties the ability to look at their own numbers, their own trends, and make a decision within the permissible parameters of the order, that the governor is basically going to cede the discretion to the counties, which sounds like you're doing. That said, what limits are on you? Are you able to basically sit in a room with your team and your consulting stakeholders and decide what feels best based on the Sacramento County numbers?
So it's kind of, I agree with the mayor. He's correct to up to the final point where I don't think that the governor's will allow us to go all, you know, to, for example, to open up to Sacramento Republic soccer matches. I just don't see that happening. I think that would be prohibited in the guidelines by the governor. But I do think that they will let us go further than, well, they certainly will let us go further than the governor's current guidelines go, which includes the curbside pickups. But it, again, depends all on the criteria the governor comes out with as to whether or not we need it. Because it's the way it's written, the way it has been discussed, it's questionable about how many of the larger counties will actually be able to meet the criteria.
I'm talking
Which would allow us to open up wider. Sorry.
That's okay. I'm talking with Sacramento County's Department of Health Services Director, Dr. Peter Bielenson. How have people been managing the easing that was announced about a week ago with non-contact sports, the real estate, house showings, the elective medical procedures, and last night with Cinco de Mayo? How do you think the county's doing with all of that?
Okay, I think the county's doing very well. Again, as I think we talked about, but it's certainly been reported over the last week, Sacramento metro area, among the 53 largest metro areas in the country, which have a million more population, has the lowest infection rate of COVID-19 of any metro area in the United States of America. Unless people think that maybe because of how many tests we're testing, our hospitalization, our ICU rates, and our death rates are all in the top five in terms of the best in the country. So I think Sacramentans should be very proud of themselves about how well they've been obeying or following the stay-at-home order. That being said, I think people are antsy. There's a lot of economic dislocation going on, which is why we're trying to kind of balance the economic health and the mental health of people with the physical health of people, and how we would roll out new activities in a responsible way.
But you and I have talked throughout the shutdown about the poor availability of test kits and components. And isn't it possible that the city's low infection rate is actually a reflection of all of this lower testing capability?
Two things. Number one, we're testing much more frequently now, which I can get back to in a second. Secondly, even if it was due to low infection rates, again, the rates of hospitalization, ICU, and death rates, which are things that are very difficult to hide, if you will, all are extremely good in the United States in terms of Sacramento County. So I think that validates the statistics. But in terms of testing, but remember when we first started talking probably 6 or 7 weeks ago, we were at 20 tests a day. We're now up to about 1,000 tests a day, and shortly after we open community-based testing sites where we'll be testing people with and without symptoms, we should be up to over 2,000 a day. So we're getting to a sizable number of tests.
I'm looking at the latest numbers, which for Sacramento County are over 1,100 in the confirmed cases. Would you give me the specific number that you have for the day and also the number of people who have lost their lives in the county?
Yeah, 47 people have lost their lives, and 1,117, I believe, is the number of cases that we have. The number of deaths have dropped dramatically to now. There have actually been a couple of days when we had zero deaths, but the number of deaths are usually in the small single numbers.
So the impact of this reopening in this early May timeframe is going to be really critical, and that will be middle of May that you'll be watching, correct?
Correct.
Are you comfortable right now? Go ahead.
So I think you're going to get to how do we measure people in terms of getting new positives, and how do we manage those patients so we don't have a blow up in the number of cases.
Right.
So that's where containment comes in. Containment is where you actually try to contain cases on a one by one basis, as opposed to mitigation, which is what we've been in for the last few weeks, which is where you try and decrease the risk to certain vulnerable populations like the elderly, et cetera. But there are too many cases for you to actually track. We are now at the point where we have maybe 10 to 20 cases a day that we can actually do contact tracing on every case. Contact tracing is basically is basic public health, where people literally, so if Peter Bielans and me test positive, an individual comes out with culturally appropriate messaging to me to find out who I've been in contact with, who my family is, who's been close contact, et cetera, and then go and test those other folks or quarantine them if they have symptoms or whatever. And so that we can actually snuff out an outbreak in one visit, if you will. So that's the goal, is to have enough case trackers to be able to snuff out every case quickly. And that's where the governor's request for 10,000 contact tracers around the state comes in. And so that translates to about 375 contact tracers in Sacramento County, which we don't have right now, but we will be doing so through a certification program that UCLA, UCSF, and maybe some of the community colleges are going to be sponsoring.
Just to track those numbers, the county originally had 6, and now has how many?
35. But in defense of what we've been doing, and we are actually one of only 23 counties that have actually been doing contact tracing. Everyone needs to have a lot more folks, and if we're going to be doing containment.
So some counties are making a test, a COVID-19 swab test, available to everybody in the county that wants one. Is that something that Sacramento County might do? Would you want that to happen in this county?
Yes, definitely, and that's where we come in. So up until this coming week, when we open our community-based sites, which will be in Oak Park, El Paso Heights, and La Familia initially, then we have 3 or 4 more opening in the near future. We will be opening them to people who both have symptoms, as has been the case previously, but also those are asymptomatic, that don't have symptoms, that just want to get tested. And that'll give us a better view on the prevalence of it in the community in general.
What's your ultimate goal then for testing in the county?
6.5 million tests. No, I'm just kidding. we want to get to a few thousand tests available a day. That'll put us at a sizable number that allows us to do surveillance for the entire community and be able to estimate how many people are truly infected, but also to identify people who are asymptomatic without symptoms, but could potentially be shedding virus or be contagious. And so that we can jump on those cases quickly with our contact tracers to be able to, again, to snuff out these cases before they light a fire.
If we think about this as a wheel and public health is at the center of the wheel, I know you've had to manage so many spokes going outward and try to keep everything in balance and keep it all turning. But where are the gaps to you right now? Where is an area of response that you're concerned about, or an area of care that needs some sort of immediate or urgent attention?
So it will be very helpful with remdesivir, which is the antiviral medication that is showing some promise against the virus disease, would be a good thing to have. It would be good to know how effective it is, and if it is effective, as it appears to be to some extent, to make it more widespread available. Secondly, I'd like to see antibody tests that are validated, good tests, if you will. The finger prick tests that were originally talked about for antibodies, which would show whether or not you've been exposed to the virus. Those finger prick studies have not shown to be very good. So what we're talking about now is more blood draw tests that appear to be a bit better. And you want to know who has antibodies, in other words, who's been exposed to the virus, And although it doesn't guarantee that there's immunity, because we don't know for sure yet what the story is with antibodies, it certainly, extrapolating from other viruses, would encourage us to think that they mostly are immune for at least a period of time. And then the big kahuna, if you will, is the development of a vaccine, which is really the one thing that will help us to bring this epidemic to an end. And that's, you know, depending on who you talk to, several months to a couple of years off.
Are you hearing about any other medicine other than remdesivir right now in terms of a promising therapeutic or treatment?
I haven't. I read the New England Journal and JAMA and Times and stuff all the time. And usually if there was something bubbling to the surface, you would read about it. And I don't know of anything right now that's been, at least it's been validated.
Okay, and as far as the capacity or ability to test anyone in the county who wants to be tested, do you have a timetable or a projection for that?
Well, we're a ways from that. I mean, honestly, we won't be able to do 1.5 million people, which is how big the county is, probably at any given time, because that's, and no one can do that. But in terms of people who want to get tested, we'll find out more about how big the demand is when we open up our community-based sites, which will have a sort of a telephone as well as an online reservation system for folks. So we'll know if it's overloaded or if it's just modestly desired.
Dr. Bielenson, you've been very generous with your time. I want to give you the chance to say anything else about this that you want people to know right now. We're in such a critical transition stage. And as I've heard many doctors say, anesthesiologists in particular, it's easy to put someone to sleep. The really tricky part is waking them back up again. And that's sort of a metaphor for what we're going through right now.
Yes, it is. And I would just say, as best as people can, bear with us. We're making the best decisions that we can, trying to make sure that we keep people healthy as well as provide for the economic health of the county as well. But everyone here, our public health folks, with Dr. Kasiri in our public health command center, are doing a phenomenal job. I think we've been pretty calm and collected in how we've been dealing with things. So I just would ask people to bear with us that we're making the best decisions that we can with the information that we have.
Well, thank you again so very, very much for all of the information along the way, your accessibility with that information, and the fact that everybody continues to take steps forward together. Thanks again for your time and stay safe.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
That's Dr. Peter Bielenson, Sacramento County's Department of Health Services Director. There was a lot in that conversation. It takes us about an hour and a half to turn the show around, but it will be posted up online at capradio.org/insight. The Uplift is coming up next. We're going to talk about another business that, surprisingly, is really thriving during the shutdown. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.